This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spy.
Indeed, it is Friday, and it's raining. Cats and dogs in beautiful Sacramento, California. But that's all right. You know, we pulling up. It's your main man, KC. You already know the vibes, man. D-Lo out on assignment. He will be here soon. Don't worry about it. We still got D-Lo and KC. But in the meantime, we got a jam-packed first hour or so. You got me alone real quick, and then our guy, Eddie Gonzalez, who's usually here later on a Friday, he'll be here in about 15, 16 minutes or so. We'll talk to him. And then the Rick Rude, I should stop saying that on the air, but it's all love. It's all love. The Rick Rude of Sacramento sports media, Jay Gayden, will be in the building. He's not going to be in the building. He's going to be on the show for us as well. Once again, there's things going on here with the board and all this other stuff, so bear with me. It's your boy, Kenny Caraway. Acknowledge me. That's how we doing. We got Jesse Tapia behind the glass. Jesse, what's good, baby?
What's up, everybody? What is this raining cats and dogs, man? Like, how did we get to that?
That's
Who is the guy who was like, hey, Bill, it's raining cats and dogs today, huh?
That's a good question. I should look that up. Raining cats and dogs.
It feels excessive.
I know what it means, but where did it originate from? That's the question.
How did you get a raindrop from a cat, like to a cat and a dog?
Well, I mean, is it akin to throwing everything except the kitchen sink or with the kitchen sink? Is it the same type of deal?
I get that, but like, why is it raining cats and dogs? Why is it not raining like whatever insert animal?
Why is it raining cats and dogs? Let's see. We're pulling this up right here. The phrase. Now this is. Oh no. We ain't gonna go with the AI search. I don't want no problems. Cats and dogs may come from the Greek expression of kata doxa, which means contrary to experience or belief. If it is raining cats and dogs, it is raining unusually and unbelievably hard.
I guess that's a stretch, but I'll give the points to the Greeks.
Giannis, you get the points.
Bro. Yeah, Giannis. That's an and one for Giannis.
Giannis gets the points. Kings are back tonight, man. It's been too long. It's been too long. Now, look, I'm not the one that has to play the games, play 48 minutes. I'm not De'Aaron Fox. I don't have to go out there and score 49 when I'm playing with the Stockton Kings, you know, or anything like that. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. They literally are playing with the Stockton Kings when I talk about Mason Jones, when I talk about Isaac Jones, when I talk about Orlando Robinson. No disrespect, but that's who De'Aaron Fox was playing with the other day. So I know I don't have to go through that. I don't have to play overtime games against Anthony Edwards and all those guys. And the Timberwolves. We'll talk about them a little bit later. You see what
the bad news Timberwolves?
Come on, man.
Bad news, man. Rudy, get out the paint. Get out the paint, Rudy.
Come on, man. I'm just saying, like, what are you doing? I know he should have got the ball. I know he should have got it, but come on, man. What
Rudy Gobert, you are not this offensive player. We should call for the ball at any time, bro. If you get it, fine. Otherwise, get out the paint.
Jesse, one of your finest achievements is in September saying, Nah, I ain't seeing it for this Timberwolves team. I'm not seeing it. But, so I know I don't have to deal with that. I get that. But I don't want them having 4 or 5 days off. I love Kings basketball. I want to see the Kings.
It was like the NBA knew they played a joke on Kings fans and the Kings. Like, hey, you're going to play all these games right here. We'll give you a little break at the end, but you're going to get these games in.
They did play a crazy little schedule, too. They had, like, didn't they have, like, 3 back-to-backs in the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the season, something
felt like it at least.
Yeah, so they had been playing a pretty tough schedule, and they seem like they needed the time off, so they got it, and they'll be going up against the Clippers. NBA Cup game tonight, so you know that's always a good time. That's always fun to see. NBA Cup game against the Clippers in the Intuit Dome. You know, I was listening to your boy, Bill Simmons.
Not my boy.
Come on, man. That's just Boston.
Best I could do is cut us off.
You guys like the same teams.
No, he's not even a Celtics fan. He's just Bill Simmons. Like I said, best I could do is Cousin Sal.
And Cousin Sal be looking kind of funny. Oh, boy, some of the things I done heard, read, seen about Cousin Sal, he a little funny in the light, too.
All right, I'm not even going to co-sign that. Never mind. It was a joke.
And I like, you know, I like Cousin Sal. But on some of it, I'm like, I don't know, man.
All right, we're out on the Bill Simmons show there.
But going to the Clippers and the Kings, he was talking about on the latest podcast how I guess whatever Ballmer had been doing with the tickets and the secondary market, it's kind of worked as far as when you go to a Clippers game, it's Clippers people in the arena, Clippers fans in the arena. And they talked about it because for the Warriors game on Monday night, I think they played, it was like Clipper fans in there. And obviously Warriors fans, everybody that watches those games understands typically when it was at the Staples or Crypto, whatever you want to call it, it was overrun by Warriors fans and anybody else who's coming to town, Knicks fans, all this other stuff. And I guess Ballmer, with all the hoops people have to go through to get tickets and secondary market and all this other stuff, and giving your social security number and, you know, and putting your firstborn up for collateral and all this other stuff to get tickets, I guess it's worked.
There's a way to do it, but I feel like you got to care, actually, if you're the owner.
Yeah. But I guess when you go there, it's Clippers fans. Now, I think one of the things that's happened that I don't know if another owner would be willing to endure is there are some nights when it's, I don't know what the ticket sales say, but if you look in the arena, in the stands, they're not filled to the right.
Yeah.
Like there are some empty seats, and that's kind of the give and take with if you're going through so many lengths to make sure it's only Clippers fans, well, they're not going to be able to just resell to anybody, which means if they can't go, maybe the seats are just empty.
If I'm the owner, if you could be here for when the Lakers are here and we need you, then I can accept when you're not for the Pistons.
So, right. So that's a good point. That's going to be a test. That Clippers-Lakers game, because when they played at Staples, it was another home. It was like Niners going up against the Rams in SoFi. Like, Clippers were on the court, but it was a Lakers game. If they can find a way, they already had a mini test with the Warriors, but if they can find a way to keep Laker fans out of the building, then he might be on to something right there. He might be on to something. But I've already heard, because I was talking to one of my boys, my man Ernest from Crown Downtown. He said they was kind of hating, the Clippers were kind of hating on the group sale tickets that they were trying to get for the Clippers game. So they're going like in March or April, I think he told me. But they're already tightening up on that. So I say all that to say the Kings are going into a dome with not a lot of backup. You know what I mean? And not a lot of Kings fans.
This is the first or second trip of the season to Intuit for the Kings.
First regular season, second date. They played the last game of the preseason. That was nasty. Remember the panic we had after that game?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Goodness gracious. That was ugly.
I don't want to see anything about the wall and free throws tonight. I won't be able to handle it.
You know what's interesting also about the wall? I've got to figure this out. Because, so the wall is, you know, a situation. And, oh, crunch time. You know, they got to go up against the wall. And I think in the opening game of the season.
Yeah, the Suns were putting the wall over, I think, the whole time, right? Yeah, like overly doing it. Yeah.
They got me. Or I guess it worked.
You Adam know? Silver was standing to the left, standing to the left, or Steve Ballmer or something. Like, yeah, you better put this wall over.
So that happened, right? The Suns did that. They, you know, talked about the wall, looked amazing. It looks great. Like, it's really dope. But what I heard, and maybe James, when we talk to him at 3 o'clock, James will be back here on the airwaves at 3 o'clock. I think the visiting team in all NBA games, the visiting team decides which way they want to go. So if that's the case, if that's how things go down, then the wall could be relegated to meaningless.
I have to look that up. I think
if you can just decide in the second half, I'm going to go the other way against the wall, then that just – and now here's the crazy part. If that's the case, then that's odd. But what's even crazier is I've seen teams, visiting teams in the second half go the direction of the wall. Now, they may do that because they want their defense next to their bench late in games. That may be why they could just say, hey, to hell with the wall. I'm not tripping, but –
I looked it up. Yeah, it's they got it where the opposing team shoots at against the wall in the second half.
Who does?
Whoever's playing the Clippers shoots against the wall in the second half.
So they choose to do that.
Yes. Why don't they choose to? I don't know if that's a rule, but I'm looking at it. Yeah, it says that the opposing team against the Clippers always will shoot against the wall.
Okay.
In the second half.
Okay. I don't know how they rigged that one, but I mean that makes more sense. I feel like I've seen some teams not go that direction though.
I feel like the home team should be able to control that.
Because one of the times James Harden choked the game away, he was going in the direction of the wall. Who were they playing? I think it was Toronto. It might have been Toronto. It was one of the games James Harden just tricked it off. I'm going to find the game right now.
To be fair, it's James Harden. They all look like walls.
I'm going to find the game because after the game, I said James Harden is the least clutch player in the history of the game. And I remember him just throwing the ball around, just not doing. Who was that game I was watching? I'm finding it right now. It was, I know for a fact the Warriors went the opposite way of the wall on Monday.
In the second half?
Yeah.
I guess we're just being fed lies, I guess.
Yeah, GP2 shot the ball on the.
Then what is the point of that?
I don't know. I think from what I read, the visiting team chooses which way they want to go.
The NBA should change that.
Yeah. I think it was it Portland maybe? I think it was the Portland game that James Harden tricked away. But for sure, in that Warriors game, GP2 on the missed shot was the opposite end of the wall. So, I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know why they would – I don't know. All I know is the Kings better not go against – knowing the Kings, they'll probably go against the wall in the second half.
No, I'll go against the wall in the second half. Like, overcome that.
Just don't put it over.
It's facts. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah, the wall. I couldn't hit the free throw because of this and that. Like, don't do that after the game.
So, yeah, man, we'll be talking about the Kings being back. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Action in Los Angeles, in Inglewood, going up against, my little armrest almost collapsed on me, going up against the Clippers. Eddie Gonzalez, he's going to pull up on us in just about 3 or 4 minutes. Jake Gayton's going to pull up on us. Dame will be in later on in the show. James Hamm at 3 o'clock. We'll talk when I talk to Eddie. You know, we're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk about, you know, some football stuff. Great game last night, the snow game. I didn't realize how much I would enjoy that until I was actually involved, actually watching it. That was a good game last night. Steelers lose, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Niners. No, it's 49er Friday. If you guys are watching me on YouTube, I got my Niners gear on. The ship be sinking. The ship be sinking. And I'm here like the Titanic. I'm saluting all the way down. You know what I mean? That's what I do. So we'll talk about all that. Eddie Gonzalez is coming up. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back in here. ESPN 1320, D'Lo and KC, Sacramento's number one sports show. Oh, man. Hey, man. D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, man, on this Friday afternoon. We talked about the Kings playing the Clippers later on today. We talked about the Niners taking on the Packers this weekend. But I got my man a little earlier today, Eddie Gonzalez, Sacramento's own Eddie Gonzalez in the building. And Eddie, look, man, we're going to talk about the Kings, De'Aaron Fox, what he did last weekend. We're going to talk about Philly and what's going on there. I got some questions for you from New Orleans and what's going on there. But a bomb was dropped on us this morning. I had no idea. I had no idea this was going to happen. Kendrick, GNX. So I saw a tweet that you retweeted, and I wholeheartedly agree with. You're not going to hear me say anything drastic about this album, because homeboy said album been out 10 minutes and people talking about, oh, the think piece already. All right, settle down. I like to live with the album. I listened to it. I thought it was dope. I like the album, but it's Kendrick Lamar. I like everything he puts out, except for Not Like Us. I don't really like that song. But the album is dope. I like it so far. What you think, man?
It's always exciting to have new Kendrick. New Drake, too, and throw that in there. New any of the big dogs. Mm-hmm. Cole dropped a song a couple weeks back. Excited to hear from any of them. I love it. I mean, I feel like this is kind of like an appetizer. Like, this don't feel like a Kendrick album with all the depth and all of that. Like, this feel like a rap album more than anything, maybe a mixtape. But he definitely tapping into that new, younger L.A. sound, which I appreciate. Look, the old head Pac fan in me is kind of mad he rapped over that song, but
I mean, he bodied it, though. He bodied it, though. That reincarnated. I mean, he went crazy on that one.
I came up on DMX Damien. So if you're going to talk to the greater being or the other one, you got to really go hard. But I like this. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to play it in the gym when I get done here. Again, it's just exciting to have new music. I heard a little rumor it might be a tour announcement soon, too. So
heard the same thing. Everybody.
A big year for Kung Fu Kenny next year, and he getting started right now.
I heard the same thing. I'm just telling everybody right now, get your money right. You know what I'm saying? You know, get your piggy bank ready, because he may be going across the country in some form or fashion. I'm just telling you right now.
And if it's the way I heard it, wifey got to go to that one too. It's gonna be a little date night. Y'all gonna both have fun.
Absolutely.
I'd probably be announced real soon. I would be shocked.
We didn't hear the same things. I'm pretty sure.
See.
Yeah. But no, man. I like that. I'm like you said. It's real LA. Real LA. And
oh yeah.
I like LA. They get on me on the show because, you know, I like LA. You know, that's like sacrilegious in Sacramento to say I like the city. But I like LA, and I like that sound. Got used to it when I was out there, and it's real LA. You got some of the local, young local dudes on there as well. So I like the album. Like I said, I listened to it one time. I'm not going to say it's a classic or this or that or nothing like that. I listened to it one time. I want to sit with it for – I'm the type of guy, Eddie, I like to sit with it for some months, for some years maybe, before I say – you know, give a final critique of, oh, this is a classic, this and that. But I like the album a lot, man. He did his thing.
Yeah, like, if you follow me on Instagram, I just kind of mentioned that he's definitely tapping into the youngins in L.A. And I don't mean it as a slight. I actually appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a little bit of hypocrisy when it comes to the narrative surrounding him doing that verse.
Well,
but as a fan, I'm like, as a fan of artists like Money Sign Sway, who passed, not on the album, but Peso and different guys on his album, it's dope to see him do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I come up from when Mac Dre would come to Sac and he would tap in with the mm-hmm. Mob Figures and he mm-hmm. signed Ryder J. Clyde and stuff like that. So like we going deep cut now, but I appreciate tapping in with the youngins and the locals. Again, I called out the hypocrisy a little bit, but that don't mean I don't like songs.
right. You know, one of the things that, and we'll get to some sports in just a second, but I got Eddie Gonzalez. Come on, man. Kendrick just dropped. I got Eddie with me. We got to talk about this. You know what I'm saying? Dame will come in soon, man. We're going to talk about it. Kendrick dropped, so we're going to talk about it.
Got to do that.
But, you know, one of the things that I love about music and hip-hop music in general is – like, so for instance, if I'm listening to this album, and like I said, it's real LA, and I can appreciate it here in Sacramento, California, but it hits different if I'm riding in the 110 and I hear the song. And like you hear that, like if you in Atlanta and Migos is playing, like it hits a little different. If you in Houston and you listen to Paul Wall or anybody out there, like it hits a little different. And I remember one time I went and I saw... randomly, this is the most random thing that one of the most random things that ever happened to me. I went to Minneapolis for a wedding, and just so happened my older cousin, I get in or whatever. I'm like, oh man, what's up, man? How you doing? Oh, I'm good, man. Just getting ready to go to the show. He's like, hey, yo, you want to go to the Outkast concert? I said, what? Yeah, let's go. Had extra tickets to the Outkast concert, and I said that to say, Killer Mike was there. This was a long time ago. This was obviously when they were still touring. Killer Mike was there. They play The Whole World. And when he says, I hit the beat running like Randy Moss in Minnesota, the whole arena went crazy. And it's just, I love that aspect of hip hop. When you hear, you know, a line or a song in the city that kind of inspired what you're listening to.
Yeah, I love regional rap, like bring regional rap back. We're from Northern California, man. So we grew up on all that, and we know of all that. And one of Kendrick's influences, I would say, is Mozzie, who's from Sac. So, like, we're used to that. We come from that era. It kind of all got muddied up and bundled together, I think, would say, in, like, 2010. Internet era, Tumblr kids, stuff like that. Now you got kids from Harlem sounding like they from Houston, and now you got kids from South Carolina or North Carolina sounding like they from the Bronx, and like you got all this stuff going on. And I respect that, but I do love a little bit of differences. Mm-hmm. And like you said, when I moved out here, like that Biggie sound a little different when you waiting on the Q train. You know what I mean? Like, so I respect that, and I love that. I love that it has a little bit of regional sound, but again, like my spotty senses are telling me there might be something bigger and more album-like on the way from Kendrick, which I think is great. Yeah. I love that. Like, if we get 2 drops from Kendrick before the Super Bowl, that's a blessing. So, I'm excited. I'm happy we kicked off the convo with this. Usually, we throw our music takes in the last 30 seconds. It got to go. Oh, yelling at us and stuff.
This was monumental, man, because I think Dame sent me the text, and he sent me, like, a link, an Apple Music link. And I was like, oh, Kendrick dropped a song. I got a theory about that I'll tell you off air. But... Kendrick dropped the song, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I opened it up, 12 song. Oh, he dropped the album. Like, oh, okay. So yeah, that is dope, man. I like, and then like I said, I get to listening to it, and it's a dope album, man. So good to hear that.
Yeah, my best friends in Sac, Tim and Marcus, we got a group chat. And it's funny because of the beep, it's a Canadian flag is the logo right now. But it was like, I thought it was fake. I thought it was one of those fake Apple Music accounts or like a SoundCloud or something. And I pressed it. I'm like, wait, what? Like, huh? Because I hadn't seen Kendrick's IG post. I hadn't seen none of that stuff. So yeah, I mean, again, exciting stuff. Absolutely. I can't wait to go to the gym and play it.
Right. All right, man, let's talk some hoop, man. And let's start here in Sacramento. Last weekend was a weekend for the ages for Kings fans. One of the greatest weekends. Well, if you're a Kings fan, one of the greatest weekends, the greatest weekend scoring wise you've seen from a Sacramento King. De'Aaron Fox, back to back games, 60 points against the Timberwolves, 49 against the Utah Jazz, 109 in 2 days. Kobe had 110. Wilt did it 15 different times, but that's it. When you're in a conversation with scoring with Wilt and Kobe, you've done something special. I'm going to start off with this, Eddie. You've seen De'Aaron Fox's entire career. You saw him when he was at Kentucky. Did you – I think we both in agreement, like, yo, we knew he was nice. Did you ever think he would score 60 points in a game, let alone 109 in two games? Did you ever think he was that type of player?
Look, this is a little bit of a setup question because, you know, I've been banging the De'Aaron Fox drum for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Like I've been saying, he's one of them dudes. He's one of them dudes. He's been one of them dudes on every level of the game. 60 is a lot. 100 and 109 in two games is a lot. You know, never quite know what his role's going to be and all this stuff. And we hate that he lost when he scored 60. But right. I'm happy that people are starting to recognize what that young fella's doing out in SAC and what he is. And, you know, I asked the question. I'm still getting replies to it. But I did a list of point guards and said, you know, put these guys in order. Mm. And it was Tyrese Halliburton and Tyrese Maxey and Jalen Brunson and Ja Morant and Trae Young and LaMelo Ball and De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. And I like watched way too many people put De'Aaron Fox at the bottom, and it was like, hold on, guys. Like, hold on.
Yeah.
And we talked about this on this very show, and he's in that group to me, and he's finally showing it. I'm not finally showing it, but I think people are finally seeing it. So
yeah.
It's just exciting to watch a dude do that and click on that level. And I think, you know, It sucks to have DeMar out, but it was a blessing in disguise in that sense. And you guys have treaded water, and now it seems like he's coming back. And hopefully get a run going out there, man. Hopefully get stack some wins and get going.
Absolutely, man. You know, we get frustrated here in Sacramento because we don't feel like De'Aaron Fox gets the recognition that he's even this weekend. Like maybe we're picking nits a little bit, but you saw some tweets. But then nobody go crazy on their podcast, you know, the Hoop Collective or anything else like that, talking about what he did, 109 points in 2 days. And we always use the argument, if Halliburton would have done that or if Joker would have done that, that's all they'd be talking about on these shows and on these podcasts for 3 days. And Fox is like, oh, yeah, that's dope. And you just kind of move on. So we get frustrated with that. But you're in these national circles, right? Like with media members, with players, and all this other stuff. Do you, like, how is Fox talked about in those circles? Like, we may not hear it from Brian Windhorst all the time, but, you know, you talk about, you talk to Tatum, obviously, you talk to KD. Like, do they look at Fox as one of them ones, or do they kind of sleep on him too?
There's a very healthy respect for De'Aaron Fox, especially amongst the players in the league, especially amongst those guards. You know, they all kind of measure themselves up against each other, and they know what that dude could do. They got to guard him. You know, they got to be on the court with him, and they see that speed, and they see the jumper has improved over the last few years. They see the tenacity on defense. You know, Swiper finally led the league in steals, but I think his defense is underrated in general despite that. So them dudes know, you know what I mean? I think media is different. I'm not trying to shoot bail to media, but it is tough to watch every single game when you have a job and your job is to cover, honestly, Steph, LeBron, and KD and that ilk of guy. So I do think he slips through the cracks a little bit. But when you do stuff like that, it's hard to miss that. Same time, too, he's in that conference, man. He's in that conference with Steph and all of these guards who have been perennial all-stars for years. So it's just tough to make that team. I mean, you had CP3 in that conference for years. You got Devin Booker. Like, all these guard spots have been locked up for years. So, you could look at him and slight him and say he's only made one all-star team, but you could also realize what's happening and why that happened. And, it's tough to make those spots, but I think he's going to make a run this year. Hopefully, he'll be out there playing in the Bay.
Yeah.
And you know, I just want to see him get his just due.
Yeah.
And I know for Kings fans, and I hate to be this guy, because I've been this guy since the trade, but I'm like, you know, trust it, guys. They got rid of the right guy.
Well, like, be the guy. No, be the guy, Eddie. Go ahead. No, go ahead. The floor is yours. Be the guy. We're listening.
Look, we're here now, and I don't want to pile on Tyrese Halliburton. I do it a little bit on Twitter, and people get mad at me, but I just didn't quite get it.
Yeah.
I just didn't quite get the game. And last year I felt like, all right, well, you got to make the shots, though. So he made the shots. But that, and when you look back, it was really 1 month, and then he got hurt, and you can blame the injury and all that stuff. But they were never the same caliber of player to me. And so have him make an All-NBA team and what De'Aaron is over there, like, that doesn't makes sense to me, just as a fan, just as an observer watching those two guys play. So I think, you know, we might be finally reaching the tipping point, and Domas has improved so much and been so great, and he's such a hub of that offense. And again, we've talked about the defensive numbers with that starting lineup and all this stuff. You know, if you're a Kings fan, I think you could, you start banging on the table a little bit, saying, look, I told y'all we won that.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? The funny thing about that, Eddie, is the trade always gets talked about as, like, they would, before when things were going good for the people opposed to the trade, they would always compare Halliburton to De'Aaron and say the Pacers won the trade. Like, that's not even who he got traded for. Like it's not like, why are we comparing the two? But I'm with you. I would always say, and I think Tyrese Halliburton is a damn good ball player. Damn good ball player. I think what we're seeing right now isn't going to last. He's going to play better. You know what I mean? He's going to get closer to what we saw the last couple of years. But I've been saying it for I don't know how long. De'Aaron Fox has always been better. He's always been better than Tyrese Halliburton, in my opinion. The numbers bear it out. The eye test bears it out. Now we're seeing the production this year bear it out. De'Aaron Fox was always the better player. Even when he was, they were here together, and if you had to make a move, if you had to split him up, I'm like, De'Aaron Fox, I'm going to take my chances with him, because the talent is just, he's just a more talented player than Tyrese Halliburton. He always has been. But, you know, for a year or so, people were able to, you know, for whatever reason, even with, they agree too, even with Fox having better numbers, like Fox was top 10 in the league in scoring last year. And people were still like, nah, Halliburton better. Like, wait, what? Who else does that? But now, you know, the tables have kind of turned a little bit, and De'Aaron Fox, number 6 in the league in scoring, still scoring at a high clip, and Halliburton having some struggles right now.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Halley's going to turn it around. He'll be a better player as the season goes on, and I don't know if he's just in a slump or this is more indicative of the type of player he is or shooter he is. He's shooting worse from three than Russell Westbrook, you know. He shoot 30% from three after the All-Star game last year, and that's not a small sample size. It was 26 games to say, okay, he was dealing with the hamstring. Well, at some point, he was healthy, and he was 30%. So maybe he's just not this 45% three-point shooter. And, you know, maybe people were understanding a little bit. He can't really go right and pull up because of his form. This is the old Kevin Martin thing, right? This is the old Lonzo Ball thing even. And Lonzo kind of started working on his form, getting it right. So maybe there's more tape, and maybe guys are giving it more effort or whatever. But I do think he will be better. I do think he's a great point guard and has great court vision, even if you feel like they play a real stripped-down, simple read style. He'll improve. But I think De'Aaron Fox, like you said, has always been the better player, the better talent. If there's any debate to be had or conversation, I guess it's against the idea that they couldn't play together. I mean, that was kind of the narrative at the time of the trade. But, you know, we'll never know. But I don't know that I agree with that. I think that might have been a miscalculation. But I feel like you got a player that fit better with De'Aaron Fox for sure, and then definitely better now with DeMar DeRozan. And it's making sense. Like, as simple as that sounds, it makes sense. The puzzle pieces fit together better now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My main man, Eddie Gonzalez, joining us here on this rainy Friday in Sacramento, California. I guess it's raining everywhere. It's raining in New York City as well right now, man. It's that time of year. One of the things that you said that I as a basketball player, as a quote-unquote point guard when I played, I never really understood. And you've been around the game, you play the game, you've been around people that play at the highest level. I don't understand, in a situation like Tyrese and De'Aaron were in Sacramento, how the other just has no idea what to do if they're not bringing the ball up. You know what I'm saying? Like, and people, and it's something we see commonly. And maybe to a certain degree, it's a knock on both of them where they couldn't figure out, like, if I'm not bringing the ball up, I just don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to move without the ball. I don't know how to play off the ball. And I guess I'll ask you, do you think that's a real thing where, like, if you got two quote unquote point guards or ball handlers together, that one just doesn't know what to do, or both don't know what to do if they're not dribbling the ball up? And is that like an indictment on both of their games, in my opinion?
I was having this conversation maybe a week ago with somebody. I won't say who. We're talking about two very specific players. I won't say who either because it's going to spoil it. But it was – it's an indictment on the players. You got to be able to adjust and do something a little different and make it work. The examples we used in the conversation were James and Kyrie. Now, they only played X amount of games together. But to be two ball-handle-heavy guys – they were able to make slight adjustments and be able to continue to thrive. And Kyrie kept saying, hey, he's the point guard. He's the point guard. Right. And it's happening now again in Dallas. And Dallas has had an up and down season and Luka's out for some time now. But we watched it last year. It's an indictment of the players to be able to play off ball, to be able to pick your spots, be able to make those moments happen, to make best use of the time you do get when the other guy's on the bench. I think it is now. Did the organization feel like it couldn't work? I mean, clearly they traded somebody away. Right. Is that an organizational failure? I mean, you could argue that. I don't think it's been proven that De'Aaron can't play off ball. Mm-hmm. His catch and shoot numbers are good. Tyrese's catch and shoot numbers are good. So it's like, you know, maybe it's a temperament thing. We watch guys, if you know, I mentioned James, but again, James has a bad reputation for when he was in Houston, he would stand at half court with his hand on the shorts when he didn't have the ball and Russ had the ball, stuff like that. And Russ would do the same. So it's specific to guys, but I do think, look, people use Olympic book as the example, right? Like I could play a role on any team if I'm good enough. Yeah. I think there's some to that, but I never think too many ball handlers is a problem. Right. So I look at Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle right now. They're finding ways to make it work. They're finding ways to share. Wow. There is a rhythm to basketball. There's a hierarchy to basketball when you're on the court. But again, good players, good coaches, you got to figure that stuff out. The Kings didn't feel like they could. You know, that's all retrospect. It kind of doesn't matter anymore. And the funny part is both guys are having to do it more now than ever now. With Pascal Siakam over there, with Benedict Mathurin coming into his own when they playing them hard. And then obviously in Sacramento, where Domas has the ball a lot, whether it's at the elbow, top of the key, where he's doing what he's doing, this triple handoff stuff, and then DeMar. And you know, I talked about this last week with Dame, but that fourth quarter in overtime against the Suns is a perfect example of how we can take turns and we can dominate, you know. So I think De'Aaron has grown into that role. I think Tyrese has also grown into that role. And whether they could have done it together, who knows? But I think they could have. It was just took time.
That's what I'm talking about. This is that real hoop talk I'm talking about. I like this right here, man. Let me ask you one NBA question before we get out of here. Philadelphia. First of all, I'll just ask you the question. Are they cooked? Are they done? Can they – some people, I think they can get into the play-in. Do you even think they can get into the play-in at this point?
Yeah, I mean, the East isn't so complicated for them. I mean, they have the worst record in the league right now, which is
crazy.
You know, you can call it early if you want, but it's the worst one in the league. They weren't supposed to have that right now, and they're losing bad games. They're not cooked. They have time to climb back into it. But if we get to Martin Luther King Day when we play, everybody plays that day, and then we're like, And if we get to a trading deadline and they're still like, yo, floundering 11 seed, like, all right, then it gets nasty. I wonder, when I watch them this offseason, I wonder, first off, who were they bidding against for Paul George? Paul is 34 years old. I love PG, you know, and I think if you're saying he's our third option here, cool. But the injuries are piling up. Again, he's 34 years old. You're going to pay him a max contract at that time. I don't – unless you're LeBron, Steph, KD, that level, and still doing it at that level at 34 years old, I'm not necessarily handing out max contracts to anybody that age. I'm going to haggle a little bit. But I think, look, the Joel Embiid thing, that's the thing here. Yeah. If we're going to overpay Paul George, but we're going to say he's our third option and we just need 22 a game and we need some defense late, maybe some big shots here and there, that's fine because you got Tyrese Maxey on his original extension and he's great. He looks like an all-star. And you're supposed to have one of the five best players in the league at Joel Embiid. But if this is what he's going to be and he's going to be this injury prone for forever and now he's causing – or not even now, but now we know it's causing issues in your locker room and your organization. What are we looking at here? Like, I don't think people realize he's older than Giannis and Jokic. You know, older than Giannis, if you think about that, like Giannis, he's been here for some time. He's got debilitating knee issues that continue to pile up. they're not going to go away. He's not going to get smaller, lighter, and just his knee better. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I asked a couple people around the league the other day, what is the market like even for Joel Embiid? You're talking about an aging superstar on a super max deal with a history of injuries. Mm-hmm. And we've seen what it costs to get a superstar level player as of late. And even if you feel like the market for a superstar is now a little bit less, it's not KD, which was two starting wings, including one potential all-star and five draft picks and then multiple swaps, or you know, the Donovan Mitchell trade was, you know, an all-star essentially, mm-hmm. and four draft picks, first round picks, and all these swaps and all this stuff. Even if you feel like it's not that,
yeah,
where is the trade for him that makes sense? And I don't know that it exists. Yeah. Like, so they're in a really weird spot and they got to just get better. There's no way around it. They got to just play better. But I want to say, and I don't know how much time we got, but enough podcasts, Paul George.
Yo.
Between, we don't need instant reacts, bro.
No, like, between him and Micah Parsons, there needs to be a pod clause. Put a pod clause in the contract.
Yo, don't get me started on the Cowboys and Micah Parsons saying the scoreboard is not indicative. Yo, y'all got blown out. The scoreboard is indicative of something. Y'all got blown out.
We need a pod clause, man. We need a pod clause in the contracts, man. This is getting crazy.
We're in the influencer era of professional athletes, and I'm going to be a grumpy old head yelling at the cloud. I don't like it.
No.
We wanted all this access for years, and now we got it, and these dudes are podcasting right at the losses in major leagues in their locker room and saying, oh, man. What do you think? Let's react.
Come on, man. Like, no. Talk to your teammates. How about that? Stop talking to the microphone and talk to your teammates for a second. You know, but if we didn't have that, you know, in fairness, Eddie, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have Draymond letting us know that they want him suspended for ratings.
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started on Draymond, man. I try to stay out the Draymond convo because, honestly, I'm biased. I admit it. But, yo, Draymond Green. The needle is not moving whether or not Draymond is suspended, man. It might move if we know beforehand Draymond is going to do something suspendable in the game. Right. I might tune in for that.
Right, right.
But if he's not there, that's not changing whether I'm flipping my remote or not. I'm there to see Steph Curry. Come on, man.
That's facts, man. Come on, Eddie, man. I appreciate you once again being flexible, coming on a little earlier today, man. And we'll be off next Friday. So for Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you after that. And, you know, I'm always say, man, come on, man. Come back home, man. Where you at, man? We're trying to see you in one of these games. Where you at?
Hey, I'm an old man, so I usually don't do this. Next Friday is my birthday. So,
oh, let's go, man.
I wish you was here.
I wish I had my soundboard. I give you the air horns. I'll get them to you when you get back, man.
Hey, look, the Raiders going to lose on my birthday. It's not all that great.
Yeah, that is a Black Friday game. Amazon Prime, that's crazy against my homes. Oh, man, let's go, man. Come on. Hey, man, I appreciate you, Eddie, and happy early birthday, my guy.
Appreciate you, boss. See you soon, man.
All right, my guy. Take care. Eddie Gonzalez. We'll be right back. Jake Gayton is coming up. This is a little mini KC and Friends here today on D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Back here on D'Lo and KC. Just had a dope conversation with my man, Eddie Gonzalez. It's always a good time talking with him about hoop. You know, we end up talking a little bit about this Kendrick album that dropped today. That I like, by the way. And like I said, when we were talking about it, I'm not going to talk crazy about anybody who does whatever they do. It's your own prerogative. But I'm not really the type to be like, hear one listen of an album, be like, oh, this is a classic. It's the best album. Da, da, da. I like to see what my albums, you know what I mean? I like to see how they age. I like to see how things go. That's just me. You know, people consume music differently. But after listening to it the first time, I thought it was dope. I thought he killed it, man. Like I said, real LA. You know, I like that he got the young homies on there on the album, and I thought he did a great job, man. So if that's the project, it was dope. If that's just a preview of more to come, I can't wait to hear it. My favorite song so far is The Heart Part 6. I like that Kendrick. I like that Kendrick that really just starts rapping, gets in his bag. I don't really like voice change Kendrick, but Heart Part 6 is probably my favorite song so far. But I like the whole album so far. Like, the whole project was dope. So shout out to Kendrick. And shout out to my man, Jake Gayton, CBS 13, a.k.a. the Rick Rude of Sacramento Media. What's good? Do you get that reference?
No, I have no idea. I'm too white for that.
I'll tell you off the air.
How are we doing, my guy?
I'm good, my man. How you doing, man? I see you got that Sun Devils hoodie on today, man. Your boys is making a push to take on my boys, the Colorado Buffaloes. You know, those are my boys right now. I'm a Michigan fan. Those are my people. But, you know, I'm rocking with Coach Prime right now. So, hey, Jake, it might be Colorado-Arizona State in the Big 12 championship game.
It is a big weekend, my friend, in Tempe. It's the biggest weekend they've had at Arizona State in almost a decade. That was when I was there, of course. Okay. They had that it's an afternoon game against BYU, top 25 matchup. Last time they had a top 25 matchup in Tempe, I was a sophomore in college against Notre Dame. So this is going to be a big one. Big one in Arizona State.
That's some good stuff right there. I like that. Shout out to my man Jake, man, because I called Jake this morning. You know, I was like, yo, Jake, can you pull up on us? He said, no problem. I see my man is stuck in the rain. He's just, you know, the hair's wet. Everything's going on, man, but he's still tapped in with us, man. I appreciate you, Jake.
Bro, I'm drenched, but I'm ready for it. It's great football weather, okay? It's perfect football weather for the night.
It absolutely is. And I gotta talk to you too, man, you know, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the Kings and everything. Busy weekend for you. Causeway Classic, 70th Causeway Classic. UC Davis took a loss last week against, I think it was Montana State. But that was a great matchup. UC Davis having a great year. Sac State looking to play the role of spoiler in some respect. On Saturday, Causeway, even with all the rain, it's still gonna go crazy, man. I know you guys got a lot of things lined up for the Causeway Classic. What you got going on?
It's just an exciting year for the Causeway Classic. One team's playing for pride, like you said, in Sac State, that just had an injury-ridden season. You know, I think Andy Thompson's one of the best coaches in the Big Sky Conference. But when you don't have the talent that you recruited around you because they're injured or not available, then you sit there and you say to yourself, okay, you can only do with so much with what you have. So Sac State had a struggling season, but UC Davis has really turned things around with Tim Plow. I love what he's doing over there. A win for them would not only give him probably home field advantage in the first round, but also the second round. So I'm really hoping for a win for them to get a top four seed. What many people aren't talking about, though, what I love about this is the connection that Andy and Tim have with each other. So they both coached with each other at NAU, Northern Arizona, from 2013 to 2016. Andy Thompson was the defensive coordinator there, and Tim worked his way up through the ranks. If I'm correct, he started as a tight ends coach, ended up as an offensive coordinator. And I asked the two, like, what does this game mean to you? It's like, you know, it's kind of cool. It's a full circle moment. We've been in the trenches of being an assistant coach for all these years, and now we're head coaches of two programs that we're really proud of. And, you know, they call themselves brothers brothers in arms in terms of, like, being brothers in the coaching ranks. But Tim Plow put it perfectly. I'll root for Andy Thompson aside from 1 week out of the year, and that's for the Causeway Classic and the 70th annual one.
Yeah, man. And then I don't know if you guys are doing anything with this, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get out there. But they got a boxing card with the Causeway Classic tonight, man. I think it's Memorial Auditorium. I want to get to that. I don't think I'm going to be able to. I think I got to do some things with the family. But that's dope, man. Another thing put together by my man, Dr. Luke Wood, man. He's doing a great job over there at Sac State, man, putting together. And obviously, UC Davis is participating as well. But I know that's a passion of Dr. Wood's is boxing. So putting that together, a Causeway Classic in the boxing ring, making it a whole weekend thing, I think is pretty dope.
I agree, buddy. I think that with Uriah Faber in town and the ability to box, and it's such a big prevalent sport here in the Capital Region, I think it just kind of fits perfectly in the niche of what the Causeway Classic is and what Sac State's trying to do, which is be innovative in every single facet of their university.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jake Gaten, CBS 13, kind enough to join us here. And Jake, I've been asking a lot of people that we talk to all week this kind of same question, but, you know, it hits a little different for you. When I asked you the question, because you're not from here. You are a guy from the East Coast, was in Arizona State, and now you're here in Sacramento. You got some roots here. What did you think of De'Aaron Fox before you got here? And is he a better player than you even realized before you start to see him on a nightly basis?
Yes. Yes and yes. So my memories of De'Aaron Fox is with that Kentucky team with Bam and Malik and Calipari. Like, I remember them distinctly. And when he came to Sacramento, I remember the hype and the buzz, but it was more about Boogie Cousins and him leading that team. To watch what De'Aaron's done over the past 3 years that I've covered him is just kind of been remarkable. Like, when I first came in, like, they didn't necessarily have a guy, right? Like, they had Fox. They just traded for Sabonis. You know, there's a lot of question marks heading into the season of what this team was going to look like. And then Fox took a step forward, and Sabonis took a step forward, and they had that dream season where they snapped the playoff drought. Mm-hmm. Last year, took a step back, I feel like Fox did, in terms of, like, he worked on his three-point game, but I think he got away from his bread and butter, which was attacking the paint and what he was so good at for a number of years in the NBA, his speed and being able to go, you know, 90 feet from one end of the court to the other. And I feel like he lost that a little bit. Of course, he also had a couple injuries last year that kept him out. This year, I feel like he's putting it all together. Mm-hmm. I think he's not only at an all-star pace, I think he's at an all-NBA pace. The guy's doing it all. He's playing extremely great defense. He is rebounding the ball. He's assisted with plenty of assists when it comes to DeMar, when it comes to Keegan, and it comes to Domas. But then the way he's able to score right now, Kenny, I don't know if anybody can guard him. Mm. He can get to the paint. He can get to his spot. He loves that elbow jumper. But then he can also pull up and have a pull-up three, no problem. Yeah. The evolution of his game continues to get better. So to answer your question, no, I did not think De'Aaron was going to be that good and get to this point. But the fact that he's here now and he still has room to grow and he's only 27 years old, like, he's hitting his prime. Yeah. And his prime can even get better. And I'm just excited to see how he continues to do it night in and night out. And I think he continuously points this out. It's consistency with him. Yeah. If he can be consistent the way he plays and drop 20 to 30 points a night, this guy's going to be all NBA. Easy.
I agree 100%. And, you know, I have a thought process when we talk about someone's prime, right? Like, I look at what is someone's prime. And to me, it's a situation where when you're young, you know, you got to, you know, your talent is way up here, right? And your basketball IQ isn't there, right? And as the years go on, they start to do this. And when you get to the prime, they meet up with each other. You know what I mean? Where your physical gifts are 100% in line with your intellect and your understanding of the game. And then as you get older, it gets, you know, the pendulum switch. Like, your IQ is there at its at a maximum, but your physical isn't what it used to be. And I think De'Aaron Fox is entering that moment where his approach to the game, his understanding of the game, is matching up with all the physical things that he can do. And I'm with you, you know, 25, 26 years old. You know, we've got 3-4 years of supreme basketball from De'Aaron Fox with the mindset linked up with the physical abilities. And I think that's what we're seeing here at the beginning of the season.
The only thing that he's missing, Kenny, is a playoff pedigree. I understand that he did great in that 2 years ago in that game, the 7-game series with the Warriors, but he needs a playoff series win, I feel like, to really cement himself as a superstar in the league. Yeah. And if you can get some playoff wins, which I think they can do this year, like we've talked about before, Kenny, I see this could be a Western Conference Finals team if everything comes together at the right time in the right place. Mm. If you can win 2 playoff series upcoming spring, coming into the summer, man, this guy can cement himself as a superstar in the league.
100%, man, 100%.